Welcome to The Liberated Life, the podcast for women who are done pretending that they have it all figured out and are ready to live with more freedom, clarity, and courage. I'm Lucy Maeve, your guide on a journey through the unspoken parts of healing, desire, and self-discovery. This is a place to be seen, heard, and held, where we embrace all the complexities and contradictions of being fully alive. No masks, no shortcuts, just the real work and real liberation. Hello, my darling, and welcome back to The Liberated Life. It is so beautiful to have you here. Thank you for gifting me your attention for this wonderful episode. So today we have another interview, and my guest today is an ex-corporate lawyer gone rogue. She is a mindset, nervous system, and energetics coach that I've known through various guises for around 5 years. And her name is Louise Lewis. I've watched Louise go from a very professional good girl coach to sharing more about childhood trauma and the nervous system, and then suddenly unleashing her inner witch on LinkedIn at the start of the year when she realized that she couldn't really help others to accept all of who they are whilst at the same time hiding parts of who she is. It has been such a wild journey to kind of walk alongside Louise in many ways through our journeys out of corporate and into the world of coaching, and to see her evolve into her witchhood from what was in truth like a very professional, very like sit around a boardroom table talking about coaching stuff to talking all about the woo-woo. And I invited her on to talk about how she has been navigating these shifts that she's had personally while staying in the same relationship that she has been in with her wonderful husband for 17 and a half years. And the reason that I wanted to have Louise on the podcast is because I know so many women who are in the healing space, who are starting to dabble in the woo-woo lands, who are deep in the woo-woo lands, and really struggle with this idea of like, what do I do if my partner isn't into this stuff? Like, is that a deal breaker? Does it mean we can't be together? And Louise has navigated this to such an extreme degree, to be honest, going from a space of like really, really deep corporate lands into full witch on LinkedIn while staying with the same partner. So I thought there is no one better to talk about this than Louise. So enjoy this episode. It is both insightful, comical, kind of hilarious, and very honest and real, which you will always get from Louise, which is why I love her so much. So I'm sending you all so much love. Enjoy, and I will speak to you soon. Okay, my darlings, I'm so excited to have Louise here with me today for this beautiful episode. Louise came into my life when I hop, skipped, and jumped out of banking, and I don't even really remember how we first connected, but we did. And Louise was on a very similar journey to me, having left law. And we've kind of stayed in touch ever since and been in each other's worlds in various different ways. And I'm so, so excited to have Louise here with us because we're going to dive into a conversation that I think is so relevant for so many women who are in this work, whether it be like new to this work or have been in it for a long time and are also navigating the realities of being in relationship whilst also in this work, because let's be honest, not all of us have partners who are like super, super into all of the spiritual witchy stuff and like believe in all the stuff that we believe in. And there's nothing necessarily wrong with that. And that can also bring some challenges. So I wanted to dive into this conversation with Louise all about that. So Louise, my lovely, I guess, first of all, you've been on a journey with this because you weren't like born and bred witch, were you?
No, I was not.
And so when you first met your partner, you guys were like in corporate life together?
Yeah, so we met when I was really young. So I was 22. I just started my training contract as a lawyer. So I'd moved to London in the September. We met in the December. about as disconnected from, like, forget witches. I've just come about as disconnected from myself as I could be. Not that I realized that at the time, of course. But yeah, so I was working in law. He was working in, what was he doing at the time? Ethical hedge fund, something. Something banky. Yeah.
And then you went on your own path, and you went on your path of self-discovery and personal development, having gone through burnout. And then that opened you up into this world of the woo as such. And how, like, initially, I'm intrigued because I am also in partnership with someone who isn't totally into the woo-woo witchy land. And but I met him when I was already in the work, so there was like a I was there was a knowing when we met that it was like, okay, you're not in this work and I am. How was initially that period of you starting to open up to some of the spiritual stuff and him perhaps not being quite as in that world?
Yeah, so I'm going to tell you that, but what I will say is it isn't like a one and done thing for us. It's like I open up to something, he has a reaction, we then stabilize. And that's been like the cycle over and over and over again since I would say about 2020. So we left London in 2020 and we rented in Somerset for about 6 months. And I don't know if it was proximity to Glastonbury, because I was in the work, we were more in the countryside rather than in the city, or like a combination of all of those different things. But there was a something when we moved into this barn, and I remember saying to my coach, I don't like the energy of this space.
And this was before you were into energy stuff. So that wasn't, was that, yeah.
Yeah, I was like, there's just a funny feeling in this space. And she said, well, you could get some sage. Get some sage and you could clear the space. And I was like, I can't buy sage. I was like, if I buy sage, there will be a divorce. So she sort of chatted me through it and she was like, well, you could maybe cleanse the energy with sound. So I bought myself a little Tibetan sound bowl. And that really is like my first memory of starting to be kind of curious and opening up to these things. And then I remember one day, so the barn, it like had 2 bedrooms one end, and my lovely husband is a terrible snorer and he twitches, so we've never really shared a bedroom, so we always have our own bedrooms. So I had my bedroom and my office next to each other, and I can't remember what it was that precipitated it, but I was in my office listening to either a full moon reading or a new moon reading, and he walked in when I was listening to it. And freaked out. I don't mean like, what's that nonsense you're listening to? I'm talking like a full on freak out. And it's interesting for him because the underlying is always this fear of, I'm going to be taken advantage of. Like, he thinks it's absolute nonsense. He thinks it's all nonsense. But I think where it isn't like this tangible thing of, do you want this hand cream? Yes, I want this hand cream. It's more like in my hand is some energy that you could have, and you can't see it, so who knows if it's there or not. I think he was really worried that would happen, and that I would be taken advantage of. I wouldn't be okay.
That you would be taken advantage of.
Yeah, because I was going to be in because I was going to start to explore things that weren't in his mind rational. Or tangible, and they're not tangible, are they really? And so we went and we just, and so we would do these ebbs and flows. I'll stop in a second, you can ask me more questions. But basically, so that was the first time, and that was really, really difficult. He was also very, very concerned that I was working with a coach and he could see me changing, and he was worried that I was going to end up leaving him. That was always his big fear. And actually, it was even more than that. He was worried that, like, the coach or the therapist was going to say that I should leave him. So it was like all of, sort of, it was bringing up all of his self-worth stuff, I guess. But then also, I'm starting to explore things that he just doesn't understand. And even without it being a like witchy, non-witchy thing, one of the things that I recognize and he recognizes, and I don't think he'd mind me saying this publicly either, is there's a lot of trauma in his life. There was a lot of trauma in his childhood. And one of the ways that he kind of copes with life is that, you know, he's very much wedded to the scientific, the stuff that he can see, the stuff that he can understand, the stuff that, you know, the stuff he can wrap his head around. And the idea of trying to wrap his head around anything else is a bit much.
Yeah. Because it can feel really threatening. Like if I think back, and I had a very similar journey to you in many ways. Like I was definitely not born and bred into this stuff. I remember as a child having some like intuitive sense of things and then kind of
Yeah,
shutting it
same.
down. But then when I started to open up into it, at the time I didn't have a partner, but I remember even with friends, like I talked about the energy of an essential oil once and like how potentially an essential oil like had a different frequency. And I remember sitting with two friends that I'd studied chemistry with, and they were like, "Lucy, you're a scientist. Are you like, have you actually lost the plot?" Because it's really threatening. And actually, I feel very grateful having studied science because a lot of the things actually make sense scientifically. So I feel like I have some kind of backbone to lean against. But I think in relationships specifically, it can be really threatening when someone starts to open into like initially personal growth, and then even more so when we get into the realms of the etheric and the unseen.
Yeah. And I think the thing as well is, and I'm not saying it's always been the case, but Nat's perception is that I was his safe person. You know, so we've been together for 17 and a half years now. I was this safe, steady person. I mean, I wasn't really, because I was actually some psycho bitch lawyer with like some serious control issues. But it was familiar to him. He thought I was safe. Right? He thought I was safe. And then the shifts and the changes felt very, very unsafe. But I think the thing that's really interesting is they felt unsafe to me as well.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of the time he was just mirroring back some of my experience and some of my doubts, which in some ways made it easier and in some ways made it harder. Because sometimes when you're doubting and questioning things and feeling a bit unsure, what you really want is your partner to be like, "Oh, I totally get it. It's
Yeah.
fine. It's great. Of course. Yeah, that's incredible. Oh, wow. This has started to happen to you. That's so interesting. Tell me more." That's just not my experience, right? And it probably isn't the experience of a lot of people that are listening to this. You know, the response is the response is like a heightened version of some of my own doubts.
Yeah.
Which in the moment is really, really annoying. I didn't ask you before if I was allowed to swear, but I'm guessing
Of
you're
course, yeah,
fine
go
with that.
ahead.
Right, which is really fucking annoying, because it's like, I just want, you're my person, and I just want you to be here and hold me in this like discombobulation period that I'm going through. And I think which is then hard, but I think the positive is it does kind of. It's a very, very obvious mirror in your face of all the stuff that you're questioning and doubting.
Completely.
Because I always think about that example. I don't know who it was originally that came up with it, but if he's sitting there saying, "You've got blue hair, and I know I've got brown hair," I'm not going to get,
It's the Gabon Massé.
oh, is it? I'm not going to get beside myself upset with him saying I've got blue hair, because I'm pretty sure it's brown. And so it's always quite a good litmus test for me of like, well, how do I feel about something really when I react to how he responds?
Totally. Totally. And it's such an iterative process because as you were talking about like how you've gone through these phases and cycles together, there are certain things that now, if someone, for example, said to me, "You're crazy because you think an essential oil has got a frequency," I'd be like,
Ooh.
"No, it does." And it doesn't trigger me in any way because that feels very true for me. But the edge of my like spirituality and opening up to new things, like I've had some quite extreme Kundalini experiences in the last year or so. That started happening when I started doing deeper sexuality work, where I'd go into like extreme tremors. And I'm like, it's Kundalini. And then if anyone ever is like, "Have you ever thought about going to get like a brain scan?" I'm like, "Oh God, no." Because there is a part of me that's like, am I actually going crazy here? Like, what on earth is going on? And then until we've integrated that new sense of self within ourselves, of course, we're going to get mirrored back the doubt.
Yeah, 100%. Now, I know you do, again, I think it's probably similar. You do kind of somatic body work with people in a similar way that I do. But when I was doing the work, or not, when I was doing the work for myself, with someone, I remember going and taking like my big shamey thing to the session. And I had a headache, like the mother of all headaches, for 4 weeks after this session. And the coach was like, "Your body's just processing the shame, it's recalibrating." She's like, "Just keep putting heat on your head, keep applying heat, keep taking care of yourself, just be gentle with yourself through this process." And I do remember Nat being like, "You're being ridiculous now, you need to go to the doctors." And I was like, "I'm fine. I'm fine. My body's just processing things through. Don't worry about it." But I think it is interesting what you said about that iteration, because now every morning I start my day with sage, sound bowls, tarot cards, oracle cards, whatever cards. Nat bought me tarot cards for my birthday
Bless
and a
him.
crystal ball and heart chakra aromatherapy oil and wind chimes. It was like his little thing of like, I don't get it. I don't get it. But I'm trying to help you feel accepted, but I don't get it. But it is an iteration, because I also remember like we had a massive blowout at the start of this year where kind of my mistake. I was trying to show him a little bit of a scientific thing around energy, and there's a lady on YouTube that talks about the Schumann resonance frequency. So I'm like, I'm going to show him the video on the Schumann resonance frequency, because then he's going to see like the science behind it. Well, it just so happened that on this day, the lady had had a dream that she wanted to share.
Oh
But I'm trying to think. And she's talking about, "This doesn't really mean anything to me. I just channeled it through and I just need to repeat. Like, it might make sense to other people. I just channeled it through and then it might make sense to you. It doesn't make sense to me." But in the dream, they were telling me that I wasn't from Earth. I was from this other planet. So
Oh,
she's
God.
right. So she's basically just saying she's a starseed and she's had some messages through her dreams. And I'm like, great. Oh my goodness. Nat thought that she was like some absolute con artist. She's not trying to sell anything, but anyway, Nat thought she's some absolute con artist. Then he was like, "Do you really think that there could be people here that are from other planets?" And I was like, "Yeah, I do actually. I do actually." So she's mentally ill, I'm mentally ill. And then I was like, I've got clients that channel. Like, I've got clients, I've got people I know that, they sort of channel like Einstein or famous scientists. All of a sudden, they're all mentally unwell. They all need to go and see doctors. And I can laugh about it now. But when it happened, I was so triggered. And I was like, we can't carry on. This marriage isn't going to survive because you're never going to accept this. And I'm like, why can't, and I need to be able to have these conversations with you. And if I can't have these conversations with you, whereas, and then it's great because, we go and see our therapist or our coaches or whatever. My therapist was like, maybe you could have just eased him in ever so slightly or lightly.
And it's the classic piece, because it's like, I find, and I think a lot of women do this, but there's this like, I have to get them to understand. Like, I have to, if I can somehow like semi-coerce them into being in this world, then I'll be safe somehow. And either that, or I just won't tell them anything about it and like be a closet into this stuff. Like, I have some clients that are pulling oracle cards like in the bathroom to try and hide it from their partner.
Under the
But
duvet.
exactly. But the like the real is a real desire to be fully accepted, right? Like, if you look at it at its core, it's like a deep desire, like, I want to show you all of myself and I want to be fully accepted for this. So it's quite vulnerable to even be in a space where you're sharing to anyone that you're believing in this stuff. I interestingly find it less vulnerable sharing online than sometimes in my most intimate relationships. Because in my most intimate relationships, there's so much more at stake of like, if I'm like, I know I genuinely do believe that this is what's happening and I'm going into a past life experience right now, or like I'm having this, whatever, it can feel like, oh my God, I'm going to get put in a loony bin. Like, I will, they're gonna somehow all turn against me and send me off to a psych ward.
Yeah. It is interesting though, isn't it? We had a couple over on Saturday night. I really like the lady. There's few people in my world that I can have real conversations with, and she's one of them. Her husband was there. And we were talking about, so I did a past life regression recently, and one of the past lives that had come up for me was I was like I worked with herbs, and I also got these real powerful, like prophetic messages through my dreams, but I didn't tell people about it. But I'd had this dream, and I knew that the guy, like it was the olden time, so I don't know, like the baron of the town or whatever, he was putting something in the water. But because I didn't want people to know about my gifts, I went to challenge the baron. She'd be like, "I know what you're doing to the water, like you're poisoning the villagers, you need to stop doing this." And then, obviously I was killed, right?
And then.
Then I was killed. But what was so interesting was I hadn't spoken, like Nat knew I'd done the past life regression, and he was quite happy for me to do that. But we hadn't really spoken about it. But it was something about, and we were also sitting outside, and I think there's something for me about being outside, and it was dark, so I'd got like all the, the good night goodness coming in. But that was super interesting because in that situation, and I sort of did say to the other husband, I said, "Sorry if this is a bit much," and he was like, "I'm far more interested in this than Claire is, who is his wife." And I was like, "This is cool." And honestly, I was so energized and so excited. And also because we were sort of among friends, Nat wasn't like, "You need to go and see a psychiatrist tomorrow, I'll book you in." It was just incredible, but you're right. But I think those situations are kind of rare in that kind of environment. Whereas often when you're online, like no one's going to blink if you talk about a past life.
No.
I mean, I don't mean online, the whole of online, but like in an online space where people have opted to come into a group.
I want to know from your perspective. I've seen like so much stuff on like podcasts, articles, like, is it possible to be with a partner that isn't into spiritual stuff when I'm into it? Like, there's this real deep yearning, or like, it's, I don't even think it's a yearning. I think it's a panic inside of women of like, I must get them to like be with me in this. Where do you think that comes from?
I tell you what I was wondering, and it only came to me as you were talking before, so I haven't spent a lot of time giving this deep contemplation. But so part of my journey since burnout in 2018 was to look at my childhood trauma. And I remember seeing a therapist, and the therapist sort of saying, "Well, that's a bit of a dysfunctional family dynamic." And then roll forward a couple of years, and I started working with a like somatic coach on it. And I remember calling my mum and dad. Like there were multiple times where there was just this part of me that was like, if they could just understand what they did wrong, right? If they could just understand, if they could just see and then just apologize, then it could make things better. And then you carry on through the work and you realize that it's a different path. And then I don't know, it's interesting because now I'm like, well, I sort of think I chose all of that for this lifetime. So here we are. But I wonder if it's a different flavor of the same thing. I think maybe that thing of, like you said before, I want to be seen, I want to be accepted, I want to be understood. And so I can only. I talk about myself because I can be really, really open about it rather than sort of trying to pickpocket bits of sort of client things. For me, there felt like this massive incongruence between I'm doing all of this work to feel safe to be all of who I am and to accept all of me and to love all of me and to stop labeling any parts of me as weird, like all the emotions, all the good, all the bad. I'm doing finger quotes because you can't see me. Like working with the shadow, all of that stuff. And then in my most intimate relationship, I'm meant to not be all of me because not all of me is palatable to you. I'm sorry, but I'm not here for it. Like that was like the initial space of like, I'm trying to accept all of these bits of me. And you're like, no, that's fucking nonsense. Like, I'm like, I don't know how these two things sit together. And I even remember like, I had like therapy, coach, all this stuff on it. And this isn't that long ago. This is sort of maybe February, March this year. And everyone's just coming back saying, you want him to accept you fully, but also you need to accept him fully. You need to accept where he's at. You need to accept like some of his fears or his sensitivities. And I was not ready to see it. And it was really, really interesting. So I went through this next wave of like, our marriage cannot survive this next layer. Because, oh, because what happened in January, I start talking about witches. Bring out a mastermind called Wealthy Witches. LinkedIn all of a sudden is me
You
being a witch.
did, you
The
did.
emails are me being a witch.
I, for context to everybody that's listening, Louise is like, I've like been following you on LinkedIn for a long time, and it was like relatively corporate, talking a lot about childhood trauma. She was like, definitely, you could see that she was a lawyer before. She was like being a little bit edgy about some of the stuff she talked about with childhood trauma. And then suddenly it was like, Louise in a witch outfit talking about witches. And I was like, wow, she's really just like ripped it off. It was like you suddenly did this unveiling, and it was like on LinkedIn, I am a witch with my tarot cards. Here I am.
That's pretty much what happened. And so for that, I've got actually my cape. I should have worn my cape. My cape's over there. Although I bought it in a very non-witchy way. I bought it from Amazon and it turned up and I was like, you're a lot crappier than you look like on LinkedIn. But so not all of a sudden, because he'd also at some point to test something out, he was on my email list, right? So all of a sudden, every time he goes onto LinkedIn, he's seeing pictures of me in a witch's outfit. Every time he opens his email, he's getting a picture of me with like the banner of me in a witch's outfit. And it was a lot from him, right? Because he has that like stereotypical impression of like the witch being the like haggard old woman at the cauldron, and they're bad in all the stories, and people are going to think badly of me. He was also a little bit worried because he said, he was like, you built this incredible business. He's like, and I just feel like you've just burnt the whole thing down. He's like, you've just built burnt the whole thing down. He's like, people aren't gonna like, he's like, the band of people that you that are gonna like resonate with what you're saying now is going to be tiny compared to before. He's like, it's going to be soul destroying. And I was like, no, you don't understand. I was like, you don't understand. Like, this is like soul giving because I'm not hiding anymore. I'm not hiding anymore. And it feels incredible. But yeah, really, really rocky. Really, really rocky. And I think one of the things that helped him a lot is that. And actually, I've paused my therapy for a little while because I'm just having a bit of space before I go to Bali. I feel like this real need to like just live for a little while. But we share a therapist. And I can see how that could be negative in some ways, but it was very, very positive because, and that's never going to listen to this, so I can just say this. Our therapist has basically the same views of me in a lot of things. In fact, it was him in a retreat in 2022 that pointed at me and was like, well, I know a witch when I see one. Right. So what he's been able to do with kind of 30 plus years of therapeutic experience has been able to support Nat and help him because his mum had huge mental health issues when he was a kid and she was in mental health institutes, like back in the day when they used to put people in mental health institutes. And Nat as a little kid would go to those institutions and see the very, very ill people in the institutions. So there's so many extra layers in there for him
And that
around
makes
what
so
it
much
means.
sense. Like how that would be so triggering for him to experience you going into, because it really is, I think, especially for people like you and I who have come from very corporate, very like straight down the line worlds. Like I sometimes am in trainings with people that, to be honest, like even if they were in a corporate job, they came from a family where their mum burnt sage and they did like
whatever. There was like much more of a sense of that being an underpinning of their life all the way through. But for people that have come from like very corporate, very straight down the line, like scientific backgrounds, to suddenly flip 180 and open to this other world, I completely understand why for the people in our lives it's incredibly scary. Like I, as I mentioned, I wasn't in a relationship at the time, but I remember my parents being really like, is this safe? Like a lot of Christian dogma coming in around like you're gonna let in like darkness and all of this stuff. Because it there's so much horrendous conditioning around any of this work, really. Like as soon as you go into anything that's like vaguely spiritual or witchy, like I even notice with people that are like really in the spiritual world, like if you use the word witch, like there's a huge contraction you can witness in a lot of people, but I don't want to use that term because I see it as like dark
Dark.
magic and all of this stuff versus it being like a woman that was deeply connected to the earth and like the unseen. Like we're more than happy to talk about shamans and like steal stuff from other cultures and pretend that it's ours, but when it actually comes to like connecting to our own roots from this land and being like that is what a spiritual woman used to be, you know?
And for me, that really is that it's interesting. Actually, there's a couple of things I want to say because I think it's important. So I talked before about childhood trauma. Like small t, I guess, but just a lot of small t trauma, right? But the wild, wild thing was, or has been, how. So I was no contact with my parents for about 3.5 years. We kind of remade contact last year. Interestingly, I think because I'm different, they're different. It's the boundaries are very different. To be honest, it's still a little bit mind-boggling for me how it works so well. I don't see them often, but I did go and see them on my birthday. So I was 40 in May, and it was a little bit like an out-of-body experience. So my parents, before they were retired, both pharmacists, very straight down the line, very strict. My mum had asked me what my sister should get me for my birthday, and I asked for witchy earrings.
She's showing me the witch earrings. Love them.
But they also got me, and I was so tearful, this book on witchcraft,
Oh, wow.
which is stunning. And I was so emotional when they gave me it because I felt so seen. But that wasn't the weirdest part. And again, I'll say this because, again, mum and dad aren't going to listen to this, so they're not going to mind. My brother-in-law, so my sister's husband, says, not long after I've arrived to their house, start saying, oh yeah, I've had a really interesting conversation with your dad about him seeing spirits. And but I'm yet to get him to talk to me about aliens. And I was like, hang on a minute. So apparently as a teenager, my dad saw like a spirit pass through a wall. My grandma was quite psychic, I remember that, but my dad had never mentioned any of this stuff. And then it's really, really interesting. So for me as a witch, I see myself as a green witch. I don't think we need to have labels necessarily, but I'm more like I'm into kind of herbs, food as medicine, connected to nature, connected to the moon. I do like my sage, I do like my cards. Occasionally I do a spell, but for me it's much more about I'm in my body. I'm connected to nature and what's around me. And that for me is just a witch. And I deeply believe that it's actually just the natural process when we come back into our bodies. You might not like the label witch, but for me, that's what it is.
But it's like as soon as you come back into your, I have a friend who is a self-proclaimed witch in South Africa, and she does really amazing work with the land. And she often talks about, she's like, as soon as a woman comes back into a relationship with her body and the earth, like everything comes into balance. It's like it's all about, because we are so, I mean, I've having moved back to London a few months ago, it's really wild to me. I've had these weird experiences living on the 8th floor of a block of flats, being like, I don't think humans are meant to live high up. Like, I don't, there's something very weird that happens when you are not on the earth regularly. And I know there's a lot of talk about like earthing and how it's important to walk around with bare feet, but just generally, like being in connection with the seasons and with the like cyclical nature It's so good for us, and yet we're completely disconnected from it.
Yeah, completely. And I've had two experiences recently. So we had 55 people over to the house a couple of weeks ago for like a belated 40th, just people from the village. And it got to whatever time that I would definitely normally be in bed asleep by. And I was like, how do I still feel okay? And I realized, I think two of the big contributing factors was I'd been in the garden all evening and I hadn't put shoes or socks on. Not on purpose, actually, I just didn't get around to it. So I'd had bare feet on the garden the whole night. And then the same thing when we had that cup around last weekend. So my feet weren't on the grass, they were on the patio, but still bare feet. I think it just makes a huge difference.
It does. Yeah, and like
A huge, huge
the
difference.
skeptical part of me is always like, no, it can't be true, but I have noticed such a significant difference in being back in London and not
Yeah.
having bare feet as much. I mean, I have bare feet around my flat all the time, but being high up, not feeling quite as earthed. But I want to go back to the piece around relationships for a second. And
Go on.
based on everything that you have worked on, because I know that you have been on a real journey with this in your relationship, what do you see as the difference between like relational compatibility and spiritual compatibility?
So I think if I need to tell you a story, I'll do it quick. Interestingly, around the time that I was having these wobbles with Nat, my ex-boyfriend, who I split up with almost 20 years ago, messaged me on Facebook,
Oh my God.
right? To see how I was. Say he hoped I'd had a nice life. He was currently getting divorced, had a 12-year-old daughter, yada, yada, yada. And we ended up having this bit of a backwards and forwards. And he was deeply spiritual. Deeply spiritual. We're a soul having a human experience, all of these different bits. And it was just like this absolute polar opposite to the conversations that I was having with Nat. And to be honest, it was amazing because in that moment I realized I don't want Nat to be as spiritual as I am. I don't. I actually wouldn't necessarily want a partner who was off exploring all of these different bits because it's kind of helpful that he's relatively like, grounded and in the 3D and all of the rest of it. So I think the difference between like relational compatibility and spiritual compatibility is like sometimes you know that there's a connection with another human being for whatever reason. We had a coffee in a Starbucks on a Friday afternoon after meeting online for 40 minutes. I went back to the office and called my mum and said I'd met the man I was going to marry, and he went back to the office and called his mum and said he'd met the woman he was going to marry. Now, my view on that is that we've known each other in a past life. Probably many, many times. And that was like it was like a soul knowing. Nat thinks that's a crock of shit. And his view is just that we both felt familiar because we sort of had similar values.
I'm 100% into the past life. That or
Sorry.
like trauma bond, but yeah, past life
Yeah.
most likely.
Right. But so there was that immediate thing. So I think so it's knowing that that's there, but then it's also like, is the relationship, I'm strong enough isn't the right word, but I can't think of a better one. Will the relationship allow the ebbs and flows of each person in the relationship to go off and be their full selves? Like, can the relationship withstand me sharing my shadows with Nat and the stuff that I'm exploring and him sharing his shadows with me and the stuff that he's exploring? And is there enough whatever within the relationship to allow us to hold different points of view?
It's
And it
so,
has to work both ways, though.
yeah. It's really fascinating you say that piece about like that you're allowed to have different points of view, because I think for me, being in many regards much more of a newbie to this romantic relationship game, having been single for God knows how long, but I for a long time thought that I needed a spiritual, in inverted commas, spiritual partner. because I was like, I need a conscious man that's done all his work because blah, 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 blah. It was like some ego trip that I had that was like what I needed because I was into this work. But I actually realized that that isn't in any way what I needed. Like what I needed was, to your point, like someone grounded and relatively solid in themselves, and committed. And committed to the ebbs and flows, because let's be honest, probably shouldn't say this being someone that is in this work, a lot of people that are really into the spiritual stuff is has come initially from a place of deep wounding. And I have noticed in spiritual circles that I sometimes frequent, there's a lot of flightiness. There's a lot of like, oh, I'm just going to run away and do something different. I'm going to go here now. And I had that in myself. I still do. I still have the like, oh, I just need to run away and escape and be free. And I don't think having two partners necessarily with that dynamic is going to gel. But the space for two people to be in relationship while simultaneously being individuals, like, isn't that the crux of like all relational work? Like how you can marry two individuals and then have a separate entity, which is the relationship where they meet.
Yeah, absolutely. I remember when, so things got really, we've had various very difficult patches. One of our very difficult patches was just after Nat's dad died in 2023. And it brought up a lot of anger within him that had been suppressed. And it just, he just wasn't necessarily that nice to me, like verbally. And all of a sudden, I was like, I'm in my parents' marriage. I swore I would never be in my parents' marriage. And I'm in my parents' marriage. And I remember, and I think this is really relevant for people to think about with their relationships. I remember my therapist saying in a couples therapy session, and it did feel quite harsh on that at the time, it's really great that you're a bit like Louise's dad because you're actually not as rubbish as he is. You're a bit less rubbish. And so, but what's going to happen is you're going to bring all of this stuff up for Louise so that she can heal these parts of herself. And then hopefully, if you do your work, you're going to be healing these parts of yourself too. So you're going to be working through your stuff. But as you're working through your stuff, you're going to be helping Louise to work through her stuff. And then you end up at a point where you've both resolved your patterns because you've used the relationship as a kind of container for healing. And I think that's deeply true. And bloody hell, does it require you to both be willing to be vulnerable and for it to get messy and to have the conversations that you're like, this is the conversation that is going to end this marriage because the conversation or relationship, because the conversation that you think is going to be the deal breaker is the one that actually brings you closer together.
I'm intrigued. Like, what are when you're talking about these conversations that you feel would end in a marriage, and you don't need to share anything specific if that feels uncomfortable, but like, what types of conversations would they be?
Well, so I was in like really getting into why do you think people that channel are crazy? Like, what's your problem with that? What are you scared of? What's really going on? Or I'm trying to think about one where I've been kind of more difficult. Oh, I like to micromanage Nat's food. He has really bad rosacea on his face. Like you can see that he's got inflammation in his body. He's 12 years older than me. I'm very, very keen that he lives a longer time as possible. And it's for sometimes it's for me, it's a little bit of a preoccupation. Right? And it's like the layers sort of unspin a little bit, but there's definitely some kind of like micromanagement, codependency, please don't die essence, right? Within this dynamic, right? And honestly, I'm like that awful nagging wife that you just would never want to be. And so what I mean is like he has now got that capacity to be like, it's none of your fucking business. This is what I'm doing. This is not what I'm doing. Stop micromanaging me. I'm feeling watched. Sometimes he blows up way out of proportion. And then he comes and he's like, I blew it way out of proportion and I'm really sorry. And then he's so pleased with himself. He's so pleased with himself that he's come to say sorry. He's like, and I'm proud of myself that I came to say sorry.
Bless him.
But it's like that sort of thing, and it's me sort of trying to take the step back, because realistically, the only person that can do anything about how Nat treats himself and how Nat feels about himself and how Nat values and all the rest of it with what he puts in his body is Nat.
But it really brings, like, it boils all of this stuff down to a very painful but relevant truth that I come back to over and over again, which is like re relationships aren't designed to make us happy. They're not like you come together and you're like, oh, we're meant to make each other happy and let's skip off into the fields together and have sex. It's like I deeply believe, and I have this reflected back to me so many times, and it's so annoying every time I see it. I'm like, we are just the perfect mirror of each other's stuff. And there is beauty in the connection, of course. Like, I'm not encouraging anyone to be in anything that's like deeply traumatic, but like, we're going to trigger each other. And me being in spiritual stuff is going to trigger him to a certain degree. And him being into some stuff that he's into is going to trigger me to a certain degree. It's like, can the relationship become a field of mutual healing? And with that, like one thing, like one of the things that our couples therapist says to us over and over again, which is so basic and yet so helpful, she's like, just stay with your experience. Stay with your experience every time. It's like, what is going on for you in this situation? Not what
Yes.
you think is going on for them, not judging them, not what they should be doing. What is going on for you? And every time I go to that, I'm like, I'm afraid. Almost every time. I'm like in my head, like, oh, you should be doing this, and like, you should be running more, and like, I wish that you were interested in this, and why aren't you coming to the sound bath with me, and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, I'm afraid. I'm afraid that we're going to grow apart and you're going to leave, basically, or that you'll die is the other one. So it's
Yeah.
like, if we boil it all down, most of the time you have two people that are really afraid that the other person's going to disappear or is really afraid that they're going to lose themselves somehow. And that is that those are the two poles that we're constantly trying to navigate internally. It's like, how can I feel safe that I can be myself and also that I'm in connection with you?
And I think, and what I've found, but over a long period, you know, like Nat keeps saying to me at the moment, he's like, oh, aren't we so good at the moment? Things are really good at the moment. And right now it feels like a high. And it's probably been going on for, I don't know, let's say 10 weeks of like just gloriousness, bliss. His sex drive seems to have magically gone through the roof out of nowhere. I'm down for that. Like we're having these lovely times. It's light. We're laughing. We're joking. It's great. But I'm not under this illusion of like we've worked through all the stuff now and now we're in our bliss era for the rest of the time. It's like, well, no, we've like had our massive big, we've worked through some great big turmoil. Now we're in the like, okay, we've been through that turbulence. We're sort of in a nice plateau phase again. And then at some point, who knows, could be this afternoon. We'll get into our next thing. But I think it's having that whatever it is within you to be able to discern, and maybe it's intuition, is this a relationship that has still got more to show me? Is there more in this? Like, are we really meant to be together? Because I believe that me and Nat are soulmates, but even then, sometimes our therapist's been like, yeah, but just because you're soulmates doesn't mean you're meant to stay together all of this lifetime. I'm like, thanks for the vote of confidence. Or does it feel like it's done? And on the times or during the times where it feels like it's done, and I reckon in 17 years, there's probably been 10 of those. I don't mean like 10-minute period. I mean like 10 of those where maybe it's like a 2 or 3 week period of like, I am done. It's like, is there stuff that you can resolve and work through and then you come back together, or have the paths diverged? But I can't remember which of us said it before, but the crux of it is, can you get to a place where, I think it's got to be a you thing first, you love and accept yourself as much as you have the capacity for, and then you love and accept them as they are as much as you have the capacity for. And if they can then reciprocate that, then you just kind of maybe rub along all right or
It
not.
re no, and it really is like I find it so frustrating because I'm like, how is this so simple and yet simultaneously so complicated? Because it really is about, especially when you have codependency stuff going on, which most people do, like it really is about pulling your energy back and being like, when I'm blaming you for not accepting this part of me or like not being into this stuff or whatever, am I actually blaming you or am I blaming myself for not fully accepting myself? And being in that and just allowing yourself to be like, can I put my energy back? Can I hold myself here? Can I love myself here? And be ex totally in acceptance with who I am and allow them to be totally in acceptance with who they are. And then you can come together to like be in whatever you're meant to be in together without like grabbing, like, I don't really accept myself, so you must accept me, you know? Yeah.
Absolutely.
I have a final question for you before we
Go
wrap
for it.
up, if that is okay. If there is someone listening who is in the early stages of a relationship with someone, but it feels like it's got legs, and they are in the woo-woo, and the person they're with is not in the woo-woo quite so much, what would be your advice to them as someone who has navigated the turbulent waters of this?
So, depending on your capacity for this, if I was to give myself advice, but let's be very clear, didn't take this advice, I would try and remember that we all have our own unique path and journey, and we'll come to things at the right time for us. So I think if you are in the woo and they aren't, you can share things that you feel called to share as and when it feels good. But try and do it if you can from a space of it's fine, however they want to think about it. I think you also have to decide on your non-negotiable. So for me, it's not a non-negotiable that Nat believes absolutely everything that I believe. But for some people, that might feel like it's really, really important. And I think you get to honour what your non-negotiables are and what feels right for you. You know, if you want to be going to yoga and a sound bath with your loved one on a Sunday morning, and that's really important to you, then it's okay that it's really important to you. But yeah, I think there is, and I think there's also a thing of looking at, so where they're triggering you, is it a mirror of some of your things? Maybe. And where might you need to apply a little bit more self-acceptance so that you can accept them a little bit more? And also then just being really kind to yourself, because the thing is, basically none of us grew up with a secure relationship attachment. So being in a relationship is gonna tap all of these little buttons that are gonna be really, really hard. You know, we're here having a conversation now about being spiritual or not being spiritual, but it could be the same thing if you're like atheist and your partner's Jewish, although they might not be allowed to marry you, I don't know. But there's all of these different things. Or if you're really into football and you support Celtic and they support Rangers, there's all of these different things. And we're so ingrained in society of like we must all think the same way because there's a right and there's a wrong. It's like, can you allow there to be some
Great.
nuance in there? Because the more you allow the nuance and the grey, the more you realise that very few things are actually black and white.
I love that. Allow for the grey. Thank you so much for joining me for this conversation. I feel like a part of me has healed in this conversation, so I'm deeply grateful for everything you shared. Where can people find you if they want to come and find you and your magical work?
Yes, so I think I am just Louise Lewis these days on Facebook and LinkedIn, Louise Lewis underscore coach on Instagram. But you can kind of check most things out on my website, which is louiselewiscoaching.co.uk.
Beautiful. Thank you so much for being here, and I'll speak with you
My
soon.
pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.